kuulin. Kuulin boşer dedi.
Good evening. Jesus bless y'all.
Kuulin boşer.
God bless you. I'm doing great. How you doing? All right. Thank you. Ah, hallelujah. That's good. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Well, let's just see what happens, but I got something I want to tell y'all. Jesus. Last night we was in a place called Isaiah 64. Go there, let me read that, will you? See, I had me a... I'm not sure if it was a dream or a vision. I'm not sure what it was. I couldn't tell you. It was real enough. I went out to get in my four-wheel drive to go to work or to church one night. And there was this fella. It was in, I think it was a vision. It could have been a dream. I don't know. There was this fella up in the back. Had on a robe. It was not a pretty one. It was a kind of a dull-looking robe. So I told him, what you doing up in the back of my truck? Get out of there. He said, I'm not coming out of the back of your truck. I said, I reckon I can probably get you out of there. So I climbed up in there with him, and when I did, the Holy Ghost knocked me down in the truck. Now, this was in a dream or a vision, one, whichever. I'm really not sure. And when I came to, he's still sitting there. He said, my name is Isaiah. I've been sitting here to tell you to study the Bible. Starting in Isaiah. I said, I'll do whatever you say, just get out of my truck. So I've been busy ever since. Studying Isaiah. I found some pretty interesting things up in there. And I want to read this here to you. Isaiah 64:1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, God. That you would come down and the mountains quake and flow at your presence. And as the fire kindles in the brushwood and the fire causes the water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries. That the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did terrible things, which we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. It's amazing to me. For from old no one has heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you, who works and shows himself active on behalf of him who earnestly waits for him. Now then, turn over to Isaiah 41, will you? I wanted to read that to you there again. In case you forgot, I want to just refresh your memory. Look here in verse 15. Oh, we better do 14 just so y'all will know that I know my stuff. Fear not, you worm. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Now, I didn't call you a worm. I'm reading the Bible. Jesus. I'm going to tell you, the best we can do is absolutely trash in the sight of God. I'm telling you, His worst is better than our best. I'm not kidding you. If we compare ourselves to anything like in His glory and presence, we're completely worms, we're dirt, we're trash, we're garbage. But it's His grace and mercy that's applied to us that brings us out of those levels, you see? Jesus. Because He's interested in making something of us. We're quick to jump in, and I've been around a long time. My daddy's been around a long time. My grandpa taught the Bible 55 years. My grandma, I mean, everybody, it's just, what's been passed on to me is how quick y'all are to jump into fads. Okay? But how quick you are to change when that thing starts to you getting dull. Well, I got something to tell you. Nothing God does is dull, ever. Jesus. Jesus. Fear not, you worm. I will help you. Don't we need God's help now? Come on. I'm telling you, if you look around, just if you was to be honest once in your life and just sort it out, what can I do? You know there ain't much we can do. There just ain't a whole lot we can do. Without the help of God, we're in a bind, I'll tell you. But He said He's going to help us. I will help you, says the Lord, your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. I will make you. Listen to this. This is what you got to understand is the will of God for every person listening to me. God wants to change us into something that's got teeth. Most of you think He can gum the devil to death. Well, you can't. Jesus. The Holy Ghost wants to change you into a powerhouse. The Holy Ghost wants you to realize just how big God is. The Holy Ghost wants you to realize just what you can't do if He's not around. I got showed that pretty early on. I was in a village. I'm telling you, God was there. Man, there wasn't but about 300 Indians. The little church was just packed out, and there was people all outside. And I was up on the mountain, the fragrance of the jungle. I mean, as home as I'm going to get, I was there. I was just fresh out of language school. My Spanish was horrible. But I was there anyway. I'd touch a person on one row, the whole row would flip over backwards. Wow. A young minister, man, you've heard God, you're in the woods, you're doing what He told you to do. You touch people and power just flies out of you like a 440 volt. Man. Deaf ear. Woo. Touch the women's section, three or four rows just falls. This was way back in the early 70s when getting slain in the Spirit was such a great thing. And I was just impressed by it, boy. Ooh. All of a sudden, I can do it. I can do this. They brought me a little girl. Está ciega. Está sorda. Está muda. She can't hear, she can't speak, she can't see. I said, no problem. I knelt down and grabbed this little girl. Do it, Jesus. And it didn't happen. Uh-oh. Bubble popping time. Oh, no. What's the matter? I see deaf ears opened. I see people flying through the air. I see people running out of the jungle, getting born again. I see God working on His own out here. What's the matter?
Jesus. Jesus.
I'm going to read that again to you, that first part of verse 16 there. It says, or 15, says, I will make you to be. Just because you can quote John 3:16 don't make you to be. Just because you was born again in a church that's moving in power and glory don't make you to be. You ought to see the people that visit our work from different places around the world that have great revival happening. They believe because they came from that place, they are anointed to teach us how to do it. The anointing gets you started. God will make you to be something new. Jesus. You've got to want to be something new. You've got to learn to submit to God to be powerful. I'm sitting there holding this little child. I actually cannot believe that she didn't get healed. There ain't no way it ain't gonna happen. I just couldn't believe it. She didn't. So I'm sitting on the dirt. I mean, God is moving all over the house. It's just wild. And I've got my hands drooped on my knees just sobbing. God, would you please give me an interpretation? What did I do wrong? Then God showed me an open vision this time. I saw it like I see you. There was this beautiful, lush green pasture. It was beautiful. No lack of food. There was this huge bull in the pasture. That was me. Jesus is the pasture and the food. I had what I needed to sustain the power. But the problem was there was a gift sitting there. This huge bull goes up to that gift, paws that thing, horns it, hooks it, throws it, but can't get it opened. All the power that the thing had could not open that package. But then sitting right in the middle of the field, right beside the little box, the little gift, was the smallest of toddlers. This huge bull blowing and snorting and kicking and muscles. I mean, power, man. Nothing stopping that thing. But he couldn't get that gift open. But this littlest of babies sitting there, no power, no seemingly any gifts, no ability, can't talk, can't walk yet, can just sit there and slobber. But that littlest of babies is just opening that bow and getting into that box and taking that gift out. That Holy Ghost told me, I've got to come as a little child. I truly am filled with the energy and power and zeal of God. There is nothing I can go in and out at the door of heaven and take supper and eat in that passion. I can do that. That's mine. But I've got to be a child to partake of the gifts of God. I don't mind rebuke. Jesus loves me. That's why He talks to me straight. Tells me the truth. Jesus. But I went down through life, and not many days ago, I think it was back in November. It might have been early December. I'm sitting in a village, waiting for the trap to fall on the demon. Service started and the Holy Ghost just blew in. Nobody asked him to come and take over. He just decided he wanted to. The musicians were going to play. They never made it. They did get up there, but they just got knocked down. Jesus came. Started touching people. Because he wanted to touch people. There were hundreds of us there. In the middle of the seemingly chaos, the wildness of the move of the Spirit, I'm praying for people. I'm drunk. God's on us. Directly somebody's pulling on my shirt. Littlest old Indian woman standing there. She's talking to me in Nahuatl, but I can't hear her because of the what's going on. She just pointed to her son down there. So I knelt down there and grabbed this little boy. I don't know what I'm praying for. I'm just praying in tongues. Shete. Come on, Holy Ghost. Fire! Jesus. Behold, I will make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth, which shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the chaffs, the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind will carry it away. The tempest and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord. And you will glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy are seeking water where there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. Jesus. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and the fountains in the middle of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That's as clear as it's going to get. Our job is to go out there with the power of the Holy Ghost, a new threshing instrument built by the hand and finger of God, and deliver this water to a thirsty land that's dying. Jesus. Jesus. That little boy, as I was praying for him, just praying in tongues, started socking me in the face. So, little devil. Why are you beating on me? I knew you. I'm trying to help you. Run off. Mama right behind him. Jesus. 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 Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. After a while, the mama standing in front of me again. It's a lot quieter now. Most of the people are knocked out. The daddy's standing there. They're all crying and weeping. The little boy standing there looking at me just fidgety. I said, you keep him away from me. Brother David, the reason he hits you, we apologize about that, but you see, he was born deaf. I think he was 7 or 8 years old. And when you held on to him and was loving him and holding him, the Holy Ghost opened both of his ears. And the first time in his life he heard noise, it frightened him. So he beat you up and run off. Come on, Jesus. Jesus. To me, that's very significant because it's not too far from where I had that first encounter. Now, I want you to look at verse 19. It's important. It's important. It's important. Jesus. I will plant in the wilderness. Do you understand how easy it is to be in this service here and get a touch from God? I mean, God's here. This is not a wilderness. This is an oasis. This is a place where there's sufficient drink, food, Holy Ghost, spiritual atmosphere for everybody that wants it. You can have it. It's the will of God for you to understand that you need to be planted in a wilderness somewhere where there's not enough. Where you are the provider through the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at this verse. It says, verse 19, this is God talking. Y'all realize that, right? I will plant in the wilderness a cedar tree. I don't know which one of y'all are cedars. The acacia, there's some of y'all that are acacia trees. The myrtle, the wild olive. I will set the cypress in the desert, the plane tree and the pine tree together. You got to understand, it's the will of God for you to realize it doesn't matter what kind of planting you are. But it's got to be realized that you are a planting of the Lord. Over in Psalms, it says that the trees of the Lord are full of sap. You are not going to be planted out there and left to wither. God will tend to His people. But you got to understand, God wants you working. He wants you to understand His ability to sustain you, to give you teeth at what He's going to call you and ask you to do. Jesus. Jesus. Look at verse 20. That men may see and know and consider and understand. That's what my job is here. I want you to know that. I want you to understand, to consider, to know what's going on. The hand of the Lord is doing this. Jesus. There's no way I could personally have sat down and thought up what's happening in our work. We would have left a long time ago. That the Holy One of Israel has created it. Jesus is interested in you. I don't know what kind of tree you are. I just know that you're the planting of the Lord. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Calls the oak tree there. It doesn't matter the name of the tree. God can make you whatever He wants you to be. You've got to realize that you are God's property. That you are God's planting. That you are God's vision. That you're part of God's peculiar army. Sent out to do His bidding and warfare against His enemies. So His adversaries will know that His name is powerful. Jesus. Look at that. I start teaching y'all a little bit and you're getting a little quiet on me. Jesus. That's caused y'all a little bit taken back by it. Running a work the size of ours, you got to be able to talk about something. Holy Ghost. Well, I got some things down here that's probably going to lift your eyelids a little bit. One of my best friends in ministry, he's 87 years old. I don't reckon it's immaterial your physical capabilities. He could walk you straight into the ground till you just drop down. He is the most phenomenal of mountain men I've ever met. I love him. He loves me. Bless his heart, he's amazing. He don't speak Spanish. He still wears the calzón, which was the Aztec dress without a couple of millenniums. It's white cotton pajamas. It's what he wears every day. When he goes to town, he puts on his freshest pair. He has two pair of them. Brother Vicente from Zacatlán. When I go to his house, it's a nightmare for me. Because I go to the smallest bulk of the always, for an Indian, he's very wealthy. And he loves these chilies. Y'all know what chilies are? He loves these chilies. They ain't that big. Call a chili piquin. Them bangs will knock the top of your head smooth off. He comes in there lots of times. That's what he carries for his lunch. He's one of the most amazing people I've ever met. I've went there many times, and when he's coming in from the fields, and he'll sit me down in a chair, and he'll have his little bag on, his little old straw hat, and his machete, and his little britches are rolled all the way up here, and his sandals, homemade sandals and all that. He just walk up to me and just laugh, reach in his bag and hand me a handful of them chilies. Because he knows I can't do it. But I sit there and eat them with him anyway. Sweat. Woo! You ain't never met nothing that'll light your life up like that will. I mean, them things are tough. I sit down with these guys and they eat 25, 30 of them with one meal. I barely can get three. Sometimes four if I'm having a great day. Them things are power, baby. We're talking, it must at least be 200 octane, that thing. Man. And when I go there, I pick out the smallest bowl on the table and I stand by it. And he just sits there and smiles at me because we know it's a game. Me and him both know it. Soon as I lift my hands to pray for the food, his wife, who is 85 years old, she steals my bowl and my cup of coffee and just laughs. Comes back with a liter bowl of food and a liter and a half pitcher of coffee. That's my cup. Happens every time we go there. It's a big joke to everybody but me. But I eat it. And I drink it. And there's a reason why we love each other so much. Because he sent me a message one afternoon. All it said was, I need you now. It took the runner from the village to my house approximately 12, 14 hours to get there. He can't read or write. So the local, there was a school teacher there, wrote him the message and Brother Vicente's name, and he put his thumbprint on it. I told my wife, I got to go somewhere else. But on my way, it's just 2 hours out of the way. On that 600 XR Honda, I went inside. She got my riding boots. We got me put together. I took off. Riding the wind. That's what that XR 600 is the wind. Going through these ravines, most of the time over them. Jesus, had to cross a couple of rivers. Holy Ghost. When I get there, I'm really sweated up because it's been like an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours of riding, hard riding. I got my riding gloves, my goggles, and my everything, and I get there. I come pulling up, and I put my kickstand down, put me a rock under it, and I turn around, and he's standing there. Now, I'm still dripping with sweat, mud. I got my riding gloves on. I haven't taken anything off. And he pushes a baby into my arms. I'm standing there in the sunshine. Hot sunshine. Hotter than today. I'm burning with sweat. I'm covered in mud. And he said, Ashkwale no nuikme. Ni nokuni nikis. You don't know what that means, but I've taken the time to learn their language. I've actually written my own dictionary. It's a blessing. One of these days I'll hand it to somebody, and it'll be a very good treasure. That means things are bad, Brother David. My grandson is dead. And I looked at him. I just didn't like it. I'm crying. I'm sweating. I'm hot. I'm very uncomfortable. But you got to understand what I am now is a new threshing instrument having teeth. And this mountain has been created of unbelief and doubt and suffering and shame and disappointment. You got to eat your way through that thing. And you can't do it with compromise and unbelief. You understand? You lift that child up. That old man just sitting there with his arms folded looking at me. No expression. Because he knew that's what I was going to do. He knew I was going to do that. I lifted that child up into the sunshine and said, Great God made Jesus. Hear our cry. I want life back in my grandson. Now you got to understand, I am not the creator of life. I am simply a worm that has been made into a new, sharp threshing instrument. And I wait on the Lord. Because eye has not seen nor ear heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that wait on Him. Shiatane. I took that baby after a few minutes. Handed it back dead. Baby was dead to my friend, that old man. You'll never meet a more weathered, leathered individual. He is tough as nails. He's amazing. I'm not kidding you. He reached out. I said, take our grandson raised from the dead by the blood of Jesus. And he looked at my eyes for quite a while. I don't know, it was a long time. Then he reached and got that baby. And we gazed at one another for quite a while. And he turned with that dead baby to his son-in-law. Oh, yeah. He said, here's our grandson raised from the dead by the blood of Jesus Christ. Their gaze held for approximately, I don't know, probably it seemed like half a minute at least. And the daddy of that son reached and got him.
and drew him in. The daddy turns to the mama, who is Brother Vicente's daughter. He said, "Here's our son raised from the dead by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." He handed that dead baby back to the mama. Now, this baby's been dead for somewhere around 18, 20 hours, something like that. It's almost time, because it's mandatory where we live, you have to bury him within 24 hours. When that mama reached, you mamas are amazing. So you think she's got to be a spook. I think she needs to be a mama. Mama reached and grabbed that baby. And when she drew that child into her bosom, it came back to life. Shiatani. Jesus. It's so that men may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and that the Holy One of Israel has created. Jesus. 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 See, Vicente is the same guy. He called me out there one day. Okay, here we go. Even though as good as y'all are, I'm fixing to step out of your territory now. And you'll, by the end of this, what I'm fixing to start telling you now, these things I'm fixing to tell you, you'll say, "You're out of your mind." And I'll say, "No, I'm out of yours." You crazy? No, you are. I'm fine. I'm a new threshing instrument. I got teeth. Doubt and unbelief are nothing but food for that machine. Jesus. I got me another note from Brother Vicente. I need you now. I put on my boots. Rode my motorcycle out there. Can't get there by truck. You can get there by horseback, but it takes about 10 hours. That's 600 to get me there in 2 hours. I got out there. Said, "I'm glad to see you." I said, "What's the problem?" "I got to go somewhere else." He said, "Have a seat. You want a drink of water?" "That'd be fine. Thank you." Sitting under a tree, drinking some water. I know it's a setup. I know this old guy. He's smart. He's a fox. Got to watch him. I'm drinking that water and I'm just watching him. "What do you need me for?" "We got a serious problem out here, Brother David. You enjoying your water?" "Oh yeah, water's great. Thanks." Jesus. He said, "Didn't we call this drought?" I said, "Yes, sir, we did." He said, "Do you reckon God can do anything?" I said, "What we're going to do, play games here? I'm the one teaching you. You're going to quiz me on whether I believe God can do anything or not?" "Yes, sir, I believe He can do anything." He said, that's good. You had enough water? I'm wondering why he's wanting to give me so much water. It didn't take long to find out. We're going hiking. I got up on the side of the mountain. I said, all right, what's your problem? Long ways up into the Milpa. Milpa is the field where they work and grow their crops. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at these crops. His chilies, some things I have to eat so much all the time. I'm thinking, yes, they're all dead. Hallelujah. They had grown up. Little bit chili plants. He had a whole hectarea, which is 2.4 or something like that, acres of nothing but chilies. And every one of them's dead. They're all just, I reached down and got it. He said, I want my chilies back. I looked at him. I dug my boot into the dirt about 3 inches or 4 inches, kicked it, dust. Boom. He said, I need to know if there's a Bible verse that says I have to have water to have my chilies back. I said, no, sir, there's not. There's a Bible verse that says you have to follow Jesus. You have to trust the Lord God Almighty. That's what you have to do. He said, I had that sorted out already. I said, I figure that. What do you want? He said, didn't you tell us that God's army marched around this city called Jericho for 7 days? And didn't you tell us that God created a miracle after that? I said, that's true, he did that. Let's go. I want you to march around my field 7 times and call them things back to life. I said, that's a difficult thing because, you know, you've got your crops. You know, it's on the side of a mountain. He said, I don't care. Let's go. All right. We marched around that thing 7 times. It had already been dry for 1.5 years. Jesus. Did you hear what I just said to you? Okay. We hadn't had any rain. Everything's drying up. People are dying because they're killing each other over the water already. It was a God-ordained thing. Jesus. He said, I want my chilies, but that ain't all I want. I want the best crop I've ever had. He said, because my enemies on either side of my field, all their crops are dead also, and they've gone and got the witch doctor. And I told them they were wasting their chickens. Because if they'd get born again, they wouldn't have to give you no chicken. Said, your lot's cheaper. All you ever want is a drink of water. Jesus. But that ain't all I ever get. Said, okay. We marched and we prayed and we cast out devils. We shouted and we sung and we blessed the Lord. Down at the bottom of the field, the men were with me, the elders of that church. We sat under a tree. No water, just chilies. He drug them chilies out of his bag and handed me some. So I sat with them guys and ate them chilies like you eat popcorn. I have to tell you, I had an exciting ride back. Things were exciting. Oh, yes. Oh. Power! Whoa. Woo! Jesus. About 2 months later, 2.5 months, I was back out there. None of the brothers were at the church. And what are they doing? I waited and waited and waited. Finally, one of the sisters comes, so they're not coming. Where are they? They're up at the milpa. Huh. What are they doing up there? Well, they're cosechando. They're harvesting. I said, say what? So I walked up there. I got there to see we hadn't had one drop of water. Not one drop of water. Every chili plant came back to life. It grew taller, bigger, produced more fruit than ever before. Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How are we doing? Y'all's eyes are pretty wide. Jesus. I'm finna get you. Jesus. 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 Don't y'all let nobody talk you out of no zeal. You listen to me. You listen to me. You're on the floor. You listen to me. They're lying to you. They told me I was going to burn out. They all failed. I'm still going. They're lying. Jesus. Jesus. Woo! Verse 7. I'm reading out Amplified. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from human understanding. It's now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised. You listening to this? God decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of His presence. You can get as mad at me as you want to. I don't care. Help yourself. What's happened to me was decreed a long time ago. God decreed these powers and this wisdom so I could be lifted up in the glory of His presence. I like that boy. I like it. I ain't no worm no more. I like it. I'm not a groveling, sniveling loser. But I am a new, sharp instrument. And I've got teeth. And I've been decreed by the glory of God to be lifted into His presence. Woo! All I got to do is follow that great Holy Ghost. And you know, it takes me to some of the strangest places. But His glorious presence, when I get there, it's there already waiting on me. Isn't that amazing? I was hiking down in the Andes a while back. Felt like the Holy Ghost wanted us to go up into the Montaña del Condor, the mountain of the condor. Very powerful, demonized area, unbroken to the gospel. Three levels of power. The higher you get, the stronger the magic. I decided we'd go to the top and work our way down. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. That song. That was my favorite song. That Holy and Anointed One song. That's my favorite song. I probably heard that 50 million thousand times. I mean, I'm about to drive people crazy with it. Because I just can't get over it. He lifted me up. Psalms 40. Out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my heart, even praises to our God. People will see the song and fear and come to know the Lord our God. Isn't that something? See, it's not me. I'm not the problem. It's the song you better worry about. Because I will be gone one day and the song will be passed to somebody else. Torchbearers will never cease. There's always someone that will look at the face of the demon and raise the torch of heaven to its highest capacity. What? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. We got up a little after midnight. The night before, we had packed our four-wheel drives. We drove to the road ended in the Andes Mountains. The tallest one around us is 22,000 feet. We started hiking. I hiked for 9 hours. And I rode for 9 hours. I'm tired. I'm about the middle of the Condor Mountain. I can't hardly walk anymore. Tired. Physically. Been at it a long time. Long day. Jesus. We're somewhere around 17,500, 18,000 feet. I can't hardly move. I have to move slow. Not enough oxygen. Carrying a big backpack. We're going to be out there for a week or 2 weeks, something I don't remember, a long time. It's going village to village, preaching Jesus to people you know nothing about. You don't even know they exist. But that's all right. I'm not mad at you about that. I'm not. I feel sorry for you. Because you see, you've been lifted up into the glory of His presence. He's given you extreme power. So you can sit in that chair and clap your hands. Wow. Exciting life. No, He's given you that power to plant you in the wilderness so you can win people to Jesus. So you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you can cast out demons and they'll leave screaming before the presence of God. So you can show forth God's praises and honor. So you can have peace. I got to this village. Sun was starting to go. As soon as the sun falls down behind the mountain over there at that altitude, it gets right around zero. Before night's over, it'll be around 10 below. Every night. All the creeks freeze over. I'm cold, tired, I'm hungry. No hope for any food because I went into the village elders. Never seen us before. It's the first time I've ever been there. I said, please, we need some shelter. They looked me cold in the face and said, there is no shelter here for you. I said, but you don't understand, I have a team here. We're going to freeze today if you leave us out in the cold. That's not our problem. We didn't invite you. Jesus. But you got to understand, my boss did. Do you understand that? When you're that tired and emotionally strained and stressed, which few of you understand that level, but it's quite taxing, actually. It takes a healthy mental attitude to survive. I got plenty of that.
I said, but you don't understand. I got money. I pulled out some money. They said, we don't care how much money you got. You're not staying here. I put my money back. I'm just looking at them. I'm observing them because that's not like them. Even their worst enemies, they won't let them die out in the freezing cold. And I'm wondering, I wonder what's the matter with these folks. My men are tired. I mean, we're just ragged out, okay? So I said, okay, guys. I had explained Jesus to them, what we was about, blah, blah. Adios. ¿Vamos todavía? Nos vemos. Jesus. Can I just read verse 8 to you and tell you that the devil is always making mistakes? Jesus. Because you see, God don't make mistakes. But the demon does. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived or recognized, understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Woo! Your enemy is inferior. Do not put him equal with my God. My God is todopoderoso. All powerful. Shiatane. The demon's got us trapped. Way below freezing. Some of the guys with me don't have the right bags. God blessed me. Some men bought me the right equipment. I'm fully equipped with North Face. I'm blessed. In my opinion, it's some of the best on the market. And I'm blessed. But some of the guys with me don't have that yet. We're going to all have it. You will see. One of these days you'll see us in a magazine. Wow, isn't that them preachers? Doing a North Face commercial. Jesus. I tell you, it's really some good equipment. I've tried my best to tear it up and can't. Because I've dragged that stuff all over this planet. It works. And it's guaranteed unconditionally too. Just in case you're wondering about buying some equipment. Don't buy cheap stuff. Wait and get the best. Holy Ghost! Woo! Okay, commercial's over. It's time to go back to preaching. Woo-hoo! I was trying to explain to those younger ministers with me how it was the will of God for us to freeze to death. They were not getting the message. I said, don't worry. Us guys that's got the North Face equipment, we're not going to freeze to death. We'll take care of y'all. We'll put ourselves around you, put y'all in the middle, get under some rocks, and Jesus will take care of us. We'll be all right. Sure will. As I'm discussing these matters of severity with my men, there's a young guy standing over there behind one of the buildings doing this to me, waving at me. I looked over there at him, ignored him, kept talking to the guys, trying to figure out what we're going to do because it's a long ways back down that mountain. And our goal is up this way, not that way. So trying to figure it out, because we're way above the tree line. I don't know if you understand what that means, but there ain't nothing to do. They won't loan me none of their llama chips. So no fire, we get cold. So I look over there and that guy's doing this, Ben. So I walk over there. Kick hit us. What do you want? Bang and say,
¿Dónde vamos? Vénganse conmigo. Come with me. Come on. So I got the guys, got our gear, followed this kid. Surely it's a trap of some sort. So we're watching. Because I don't know if y'all have ever heard of a group called the Shining Path. But that's where they live, where we was at. So things are exciting. Sendero Luminoso. They've never messed with us because, I don't know why, because of Jesus, I guess. They need Jesus, that's all I got to say about it. Kuriata Neshi Natatade. He brought us to this little old rock. Edifice, wasn't very big. I walked in there and looked. A couple of goats in there. Pig. Rotten potatoes on the ground. But baby, she looked like a 5-star Hilton. King size bed. Extra hot heater. I told everybody, be a whack in here. Let's go see what's going on. I told that guy, what do you want with me? Just accommodate your people. Okay. So we went in there. Everybody got him a place. And we was really nice and cozy. It was so nice to be out of that howling wind and freezing. I can't tell you. It felt so good. I carry one of those things on my backpack that tells the altitude and the humidity and the temperature, all those things. Inside the building, it was 20 degrees. And we felt warm and comfortable. I'm not going to mess with you much about suffering, but I'm just not, because it's irrelevant, actually. It's not relevant to... It's just not. I lay down. I told that young man, thank you very much, my brother. You can leave now. I got over there, rolled out my Marmont sleeping bag. That's another commercial if you want to break right quick. 20 below, waterproof. Oh, yes. I went down to my long johns. Y'all know what that is? Changed my socks. Got in that sleeping bag. Ooh, it's a mummy. Had my goggles on. And I just got my goggles sticking out. Son, I felt good. Woo, it felt so good to be up in there on them old rotten taters. One of them little pigs was my pillow. Say what you want to. That thing was warm, boy. Oh. Just have to put up with every now and then a, huh? That don't matter. He didn't care because I was warm to him, too. Isn't that something? We was helping each other. Woo! I look over in the window. I'm just perfectly warm. I look over in the window. That young man sitting there, about 17, 18. He's looking at me. My mummy head just shook. I ain't coming out of here, boy. My boots had already froze, man. I ain't coming. Then. Took my goggles off, put my glasses on. Oh, Lord, it was cold out there. Put my feet down in them froze boots. Got my flashlight. Got my hand warmers on. What do you want? Then. You should have seen me walking through that village with my long johns. I didn't figure we was going on a trip, but if we was. He opened the door to this longhouse. I don't know if y'all understand that term, but it was a big block. It was made out of rocks. Big house. That's where everybody lived. We was living with the pigs and the rotten taters. But that's okay. Seems like I've read in Hebrews where the world wasn't worthy of men who had to dwell in caves. Seems like I've read that somewhere before, so I'm all right. I'm in good company. God's elite troops. Tater bins and caves. We can live with that. When I opened the door, I could not. I was astounded. This is simply, absolutely, God didn't tell us. I just didn't know. I could not believe what was in front of my eyes. I just came unglued. I just couldn't believe it. Far as I could see down through that house were people laying dying. The reason those elders were so rude to us is because there was an unstoppable plague killing everybody in that village. People had blood running out of them everywhere. I looked at that young man. I said, "What's the name of it?" "Dingy." I said, "Oh, God." I shut the door. Inside. This is why I'm up here. I'm froze. I'm hungry. I'm lonely. But I'm a thrashing instrument having teeth. I walked up to that first person. It was an old man. I got down on my hands and knees. You should have seen the blood. What's happening when blood comes is these demons are leaving the host looking for somebody else to kill. It's the worst time to mess with somebody, actually, when they're that contagious. Jesus. So let me tell you how to handle it. Let me rephrase that, how I handle it. You pull them to you. And you let them ooze their blood all over you. And you look up through the roof of that burned up old shack. Heaven, it's a lot of work you've got to do right now. In the name of Jesus. Laid him down. Laid on top of him. Nose to nose. Mouth to mouth. See? You see, I have been brought out of the muck and the mire into the glory of the presence of the Lord. In me beats the life of God. In me flows the wind of heaven. I stepped over to the next woman. Pulled her up to me, got blood. You ought to see me. When I got through with that little operation, son, I looked like a bloody mess. I laid flat down on top of her, commanded life into her in Jesus' name. Went through everybody in that house, same way. Several dozen of them. They were going to all be dead by morning. There's no way about it. There ain't no way out of it. Jesus. 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 I walked back in my clumpy old boots. Got back in there, my men are just snoring. And I just looked at them. They all counted heads. They all safe. Everything's fine. I'm just covered in blood. Got in that sleeping bag. But then, I'm one of those kind of people that can feel you looking at me.
even in sleep. My wife, most of the time, has to wake me up from across the room because I can feel it. And I usually get up excited. I felt somebody looking at me, so I got my flashlight. It was in the bag with me. There that young boy was sitting in that window. Cotton pick him. 4:30 in the morning, what's the matter with you? Then. Jesus. Go! Oh! It was below zero now. Lord, I hate it. I hate them froze boots. Blood's all dried on me. I'm walking across. I look to the side. You ever see his hat I wear? It's kind of funny. It's got these. It comes down over there and you raise it up. You know, it's floppy, you know. Jesus. I said, what do you want, boy? Sun will be up in an hour and a half. I was doing so good. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what was going to happen. I really didn't. He opened that door. I got my flashlight. It's all lit up in there. I went in there. 100% healed. Jesus. When they got healed, they decided they needed to fix a feast. So they had been preparing food all night. They had every kind of food. I was looking at that food. Golly, I'm hungry. Wait a minute, I got men. Y'all hold on with this party. I'll be right back. I went out yonder and got all my men out of bed. It's 5 o'clock by now. Got them all up. Brought them all in. We ate till we couldn't even walk hardly. We were so full. We were so blessed. They gave me the water first. That's where the dinghy is. We drank it. None of us got the dinghy. The head of that household went and told the elders what happened. Yahoo! We went house to house by groups. We split up with these elders and went. Preaching the gospel. Everybody got healed. Jesus! 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 Woo! Thank you, great Holy Ghost! Woo! I ate so much food, it was wonderful. Better read verse 9 to you and close this down. They would have never crucified the Lord of glory, you see, but on the contrary, as the Scripture says, and we know where it says it, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, right? Jesus. What eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared
Don't you understand I have the right to go to God's warehouse and get my basket full of goods I need for the war against the enemy of my God? I've been given the right to choose the best gifts. How about that? Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Jesus. God has prepared, made, and keeps ready. For those who love Him, who hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him, gratefully recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. Wow! I'll tell you, He's powerful. He is worthy. Jesus. 1 hour and 10 minutes. That's enough. Jesus. Y'all can put y'all's Bibles up if you want to. I don't care. Or you can keep them out. That's all right, too. Would you please stand up with me? Come on, great Holy Ghost. Because, see, I went to church one time above the tree line again at 17,000 some odd feet, about 17,800, close to 18,000. Next day we had 4 or 5 services planned. But you see, there was this person came to church. Actually, it was 2 men. They sat over and observed us and watched us. And while we was having church, they didn't make any emotions, any sound. They didn't. You could just tell they were unchurched people. And after church was over, what do you want? We want you to come with us to our village. Your God sent us here to take you with us. Really? You have to excuse me, but He didn't tell us about it. Do you love Jesus? I don't know what the love of Jesus is. Okay. So you're not born again. And you're going to tell me, my God told me to go with you. When I love Him, and He's known my address for a long time. You know what their answer was? Yes. I said, okay, I'll go. So we redid the schedule. Well, before daylight, they come, got me. I got my junk together, my backpack, and all this stuff that American carries around. But I'm a lot lighter than you are. But I'm still too heavy for those mountains. Jesus. You have to understand that it's at night the clouds come in. We're way high in the Andes and the clouds out of the jungle come and the humidity so it turns into clouds. Comes off the Amazon. Jesus. I got my little flashlight. I'm following these guys. But the problem is, their lungs seem to be down in their legs. And they can fly. So I'm trying to stay up. They left me. That's not too bad, except for I don't know the way. It's cloudy and it's dark. My flashlight can only do right in front of me. All of a sudden I realize there's a trail fork. I look at it and there's the same sandal tracks on both of them. It's almost like they did it on purpose. I said, okay, Holy Ghost. I figure you got this place mapped out. You can probably help me out. So He told me to go left. I went left. At least I felt like that's what He said. Kept going. Another one. Oh, God. So I asked him, got a sort of answer, went one way. Come up, there's another one. I am so alone. I hope I can find my way back. I'm isolated. I'm cold. These jokers have left me. The fog started turning a little bit lighter. Finally, I come over this hill and started downhill and came. It's just the most amazing thing to see. It's half of me was in clear and half of me was in the clouds. So I went on down and, it's just flat clouds. It was nice. Because underneath you could see, but on top you can't. It was just, see, you got to understand that if you will trust God, He'll get you through that fog. He'll guide you down the trail. He'll take you where you need to go, but you got to let Him be that God. You got to learn how to wait on Him. You got to learn how to love Him, because nobody's ever seen the power that can be produced by somebody who knows how to wait on Him and love Him. Jesus. I saw a village way down there. Who knows? Had you been there, of course, you'd have been able to prophetically tell me, well, sure, Brother Hogan. Give me the names and the addresses of everybody that lives there. Because you know everything. I get down about halfway to the village. Bow, bow, bow. The campana starts ringing, big bell. Bye, bye. People are running from everywhere. You better be ready. Gotcha. Holy Ghost. I got you. I got down there. It was the right village. Those two men that I had seen were talking to some older men, village elders. They all came up to me, started talking to me. Thank you for coming. Thank you for talking. I said, okay. Why you need me here? Because we want to get born again. I said, wait. Wait a minute. Let me get my backpack off. Hang on a minute. And let me read you at least one verse. So I took my backpack off. And I mean, oh, I could almost fly. Come on, Jesus. I started walking around looking at the people. Every man, woman, child in that village was there. I said, now hold on a minute. What do you want? One of those elders just waved his hand like this over his people and said, we want your Jesus. We've heard that your Jesus is powerful. We've heard that your God can do anything. We've heard that without Him we will burn in hell. Is that true? I said, that's true. I said, you don't need me. Y'all have already made y'all's decisions. What do we do? I said, let me read it to you. So I got my Bible out. I read them a couple of verses. People just started wailing. So I said, all right, every one of you people that want Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, lift your hands up. The whole village. I said, no. So I reached and got one of them guys that had come with me. Or I went with him, actually. I said, interpret this into Quechua. So I said it to him in Spanish. He said it in Quechua. I said it in Spanish. He said it in Quechua. Everybody's hand goes up. I said, no. Put them down. I said, you ain't understanding what I'm saying. You can't be. You see how our minds are? We think we believe God for His greatness. And we think what we're really believing Him for is a trickle. When He actually answers your prayer, you can't believe it. You just sit there and go, no, let's do this again. I did it four times. Finally, one of them elders walked up there and said to me, do you not understand Spanish? I said, yes, sir, I understand Spanish. She said, we all want to get born again. Right now. I mean, the Holy Ghost blasted that place. Every one of them got born again. Woo! Woo! Have y'all been hearing what I've been telling y'all over the last couple of days? Don't you reckon that affects you like it does me? It affects you, man. You can't live like you used to live anymore. Because your mind starts working on you. If He can win a whole village, He can win a whole county. If He can win a whole county, He can win a whole state. If He can win a whole state, He can take a whole country! Jesus. Ha! What about it? Can you do that? Actually, it's can your God do that? I've watched mine do it. I've watched Him heal entire villages. I've watched Him save their soul from hell. I've watched Him do it. I've watched Him raise the dead over and over. I've watched Him open the blinded eyes over and over. I've watched Him grow limbs out over and over. And I know that we're just beginning to get into His flow. Isn't that something? Can we worship God just for a minute? Miss Leah, Miss Brother Brian, could y'all come up here, please? Jesus, 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 oh Holy Ghost, hallelujah. We've got to let Him go, y'all. Take Him out of the box. Get Him out of that box. Let Him out. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 So start out with holy and anointed one. And then go wherever you want to from the Holy Ghost. Is that all right?
Jesus.
Jesus.
And risen,
Father God,
exalted.